Harvard Business School Business Research for Business Leaders. What is the government's role in U.S. healthcare? By Jim Heskett, the 2nd of March 2007. Original source URL: https://hbs.wk.hbs.edu/items/what-is-the-government's-role-in-u-s-healthcare. This media content is presented and made available in spoken voice text narrative audio format by GrewUp.net 2019, a peace-building, truth-affirming, dishonesty-confronting, and trust-binding network. Ideal great reasons us will unite peace. Hashtag crimeobone equals at realuphuman.net equals honesty-binding. Hashtag niansapo equals at GrewUp.net equals wisdom not binding. Hashtag mapatapo equals at fuckituphuman.net equals peace, reconciliation not binding. The knot that binds parties together in a conflict or dispute to create a forum discussion to resolve disputes. Archived stored source URL: http://hss-government.realuphuman.net/hhs.gov/gmail-a-shared-article-dash-what-is-the-government's-role-in-us-health-care.htm. Gmail: James Driscoll. You have received a shared article. What is the government's role in U.S. healthcare? By Jim Heskett, the 2nd of March 2007. One message, Martin J. Driscoll. Saturday, January 19, 2019 at 5:43 a.m. to Michael R. Maynard, client advocate of James Driscoll. What is the government's role in U.S. healthcare? HBS Working Knowledge, Harvard Business School. https://hbs.wk.hbs.edu/item/what-is-the-government's-role-in-u-s-healthcare. The comment stream from this 2007 article is 66 comments. Apparently, comments have been closed by the site and or author of this article from a 2019 perspective as relating a 12-year gap between dated article and usage of this important article's content. I am providing a sampling of relevant 2019 sampling of comments from this article to be provided to it GrewUp readers and listeners of spoken voice text narrative audio presentations. Anonymous: name one thing the government does well, nay efficiently and effectively. Privatized healthcare encourages competition carriers, acts as a watchdog over unnecessary or overly inflated claims, and maintains the quality of care. Entrusting the federal government to administer our nation's healthcare would mean slower claim handling, more bureaucracy, and greater abuses of the system. Hakan Hillerstrom, owner, Advisory Business Everywhere. In the developed world, the problem of too high healthcare costs is tackled in the wrong way. We have to get people to take more responsibility themselves and over time make them healthier, not just physically, and thereby become less sick. This will be the solution, and if you think it is too simplistic, just wait for a couple of companies that are now being created that will tackle this huge problem. In about 10 years' time, we will start to see the first real results of these efforts. CJ Cullinane. The cost of healthcare will be a problem that will increase in multiples unless something is done that is radically different from what we are doing now. The cost of healthcare is rising faster than inflation, new costly procedures are being discovered daily, and the present system of the healthcare practitioners investing in the equipment to give these tests are all pushing costs higher. Increased taxes would solve the problem but could put a damper on the economy. Business is having an increasingly tougher time competing with countries that have subsidized healthcare, automotive companies, so business is not the answer. The individual cannot afford much more healthcare cost without a cut in their standard of living. Multiply this with the demographic increase caused by the baby boomers and we have a crisis that standard methods will not solve. For our industries, government, and individuals to survive this healthcare crisis, a radically new approach has to be looked at. This will most likely be a combination of all the above participants with the suffering, excuse the pun, spread to all. Certain high-cost infirmities may have to be subsidized, for want of a better term, with government and industry helping the people with these high-cost medical problems. This is, without doubt, a problem that only gets worse as the population ages. The tough part will be determining what to do and then doing it. Considering politics, lobbies, interest groups, and our increasing lifespans, I do not know if we have the will to take on this enormous task. Paul T. Jackson, Information Consultant, Trescott Research. First, I would like to say that government involvement in healthcare is the problem. When the major company that helps the drug companies is also contracted by the government to run the Medicare drug program, there is a conflict of interest and should not be allowed. Any subsidies add to the cost of everything. Why do drug companies do so much advertising to the public, who are not doctors? Why do drug companies draft legislation? Why do drug companies and doctors fight natural remedies and want to make natural herbs into regulated drugs? Why do some insurance companies still not allow payment for chiropractic or naturopathic services? Why does Medicare cover eye surgeries but not hearing? It appears we have an industry that does not want us to be well at any cost. Our buy more, eat bigger sandwiches culture may be driving people to be sick, but the medical institutions are making us worried to sickness. Education is not necessary to the extent that people who don't have insurance to pay for things tend to do better health-wise. But the corporations, the government, and the health profession don't do studies on those healthy people. They keep telling us all our poor uninsured people are desperately sick and need insurance when perhaps they don't. One honest doctor told me that, of the male population that gets prostate cancer, only 3% die from it, and with all the testing that we've been conned into taking, it hasn't improved, decreased that figure in over 10 years. So what is going on? We are being conned into testing and other procedures that don't change the problem or are unnecessary, or just give the medical and drug companies something to do that they don't need to do, but get tax money to do. Several books now cover the problem of worrying about health that can actually make us sick, and I believe that's what the medical industry, drug companies, insurance companies, and the medical profession wants us to be. A sick nation. Asking the government for help in their endeavors, not the people's. The only thing the government should be involved with is controlling the drug, insurance, and medical industry advertising spending, which would bring down the costs of healthcare considerably. Elizabeth Benbrooks. Many of the commenters here have touched on different facets of the problems facing the healthcare industry, all of which are valid points, but they have so far ignored a central fact. The healthcare industry is fundamentally unlike other industries. Its stock in trade is in alleviating the sickness and suffering of human beings. It, therefore, comes freighted with a host of fundamental moral, ethical and emotional issues that simply don't exist for other industries. One commenter says that virtually no one is denied emergent care, without following that up by stating that this is because hospitals are legally required to provide that care, and that cost, therefore, becomes a secondary consideration in that case. Another commenter suggests that the economic burden of caring for the aging members of our population is becoming too large for the system to handle. True enough, but following that sort of logic, the most economically efficient solution would be to euthanize people once they reach retirement age. Or perhaps simply store them somewhere handy until we can bring our new Soylent Green manufacturing facilities online. Another commenter brought up the issue of the many illnesses that are the result of poor lifestyle choices to which the US population is increasingly prone, things like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, lung cancer. Yes, people with these illnesses should have taken better care of themselves. And if that 70-year-old diabetic is our mother, what do we suggest then? That she diet and exercise, but not receive any other treatment, because it's costing us too much. That it's okay for her to lose a foot to gangrene because she should have known better. What do we do when our own child is diagnosed with leukemia? Say, sorry, kid, worse luck, but you're destroying the efficiencies of the system. Rather than do everything in our power, insisting on any treatment, if it would keep the child with you for one more year, one more month, one more day. Purely economic models will never supply a complete solution to the problems addressing the US healthcare industry because they do not and cannot address these issues. Charles Carroll, consultant, independent, you can't legislate reality. There are only so many people who are both talented enough and willing to spend their years becoming proficient in the more complex health treatment disciplines. If not expressed in dollars, access to them will be expressed in time or access. Amazingly, I had a Canadian acquaintance who lost both parents while they waited for treatments my own parents and parents-in-law, middle class, all received in days and weeks. I am not nor am I related to any doctors or surgeons. The UK's National Health Service nears receivership, and so the powers that be determined that some conditions will not be treated or some people placed outside eligibility for treatment. Also, not having health insurance is not the same as not having access to healthcare. What is the proper role for national government? 1. To protect against outright fraud through organisations like the FDA and prosecutors. 2. To encourage mechanisms for prudent, red, catastrophic, and continuous, significant, healthcare situations. I realize it is not the same, but I believe it is analogous to automobile warranties which do not cover air filters, wiper blades, brake shoes, etc. Endemic. 3. To foster research into prevention and cures, treatments. 4. To provide education in public primary and early secondary schools concerning health maintenance, wellness, and nutrition. 5. To provide tax relief to healthcare providers, institutions for providing life-saving, immediate, services to indigents at the same time as auditing against fraud. 6. For providing a legal basis for voluntary healthcare savings accounts without unrestricted, mandated coverage subsequent to the onset of major life-threatening conditions. Howard Doka Smith, Patients Health Systems, The Ultimate Socialized Medicine for America, 1. Everyone, citizens, legal aliens, illegal aliens, visitors, employees of U.S. multinational companies, will get free healthcare coverage. 2. The healthcare providers, physicians, dentists, hospitals, chiropractors, acupuncturists, faith healers, training schools for these professionals, get their money from the government. 3. The cost is deducted from everyone, billionaires, millionaires, employers, the middle class, the working poor, and a percentage of our foreign aid. 4. It opens the door for more healthcare providers. 5. These providers get paid standard salaries, they won't like that from the government. 6. No incentives for them, therefore the quality of practice is mediocre. 7. They cannot be sued, so they are happy. 8. If you want private care, you pay the difference and you see a private doctor. 9. Item 3 will be a percentage increase on taxes and also a percentage on everything that we buy. Since everything that we buy, food, clothes, drinks, smokes, cigar, cigarette, marijuana, black market transactions of other drug use, that actually, against popular opinion and misinformation campaigns, do not cause addiction, cars, personal care, house cleaning chemicals can make us sick. 10. We will be a happier nation. This is where this disenfranchised citizen must make a point of objection. Being the pansy of a system of hate and victimized by the HIV/AIDS hate dysfunctional paradigm interface of social services region to region. This is not just indirect involvement, but direct and relevant involvements of the directors and upper tier leadership of these non-profit government-funded agencies. See http://ryan-y-care-act.fuckitup.human.net, a real blow account backed by documented real-time event happenstance evidence of blow on point deliverance of truth about the hate of received retaliation for thinking out of the box of solutions and discussions. That has now once again detached from doctor care provider care access to healthcare, detached Dr. Nancy Madigna, the University of Colorado Denver, detached Colorado Health Network aka Denver Colorado AIDS Project, detached Rocky Mountain Cares Denver Colorado, detached Dr. Zane, County of San Bernardino Public Health Department Primary HIV Care, detached Dr. Christopher Eric Berger, through of Dr. Zane's office, detached Dr. Mirza, County of San Bernardino Department of Behavior Health. Detached, Futile AIDS Project San Bernardino, detached, Dr. Shigeno Borrego Health San Bernardino because of special interest, conflict of interest, bias against change, hidden agendas of both lower-level staff, as well as upper-tier leadership that overrule rational common-sense behaviors of these involved persons of this dysfunctional interface. These interface persons of staff and leadership act as untouchables to their insane actions and thinking processes rather than allowing common-sense values and business operations standards to rule. Reference Reading, We Are As Sick As Our Secrets, God's Eye Sees All Secrets, The Bridge Recovery Center for Addictions, A Wild View of Substance Drug Addictions, Social Justice. We need to normalize drug use in our society after the disastrous misconceptions of the 20th century. We're returning to the idea that drugs are an ordinary part of life experience and no more cause addiction than do other behaviors. This is rational and welcome. Stanton Peel, October 24, 2014, What Is On Planet Earth As A Model to Follow? The Portugal Model of Decriminalization of All Drug Categories. The 2nd of March 2007 WHAT Do You Think? What is the government's role in U.S. healthcare? By Jim Heskett. Healthcare will grab ever more headlines in the U.S. in the coming months, says Jim Heskett. Any service that is on track to consume 40% of the gross national product of the world's largest economy by the year 2050 will be hard to ignore. But are we addressing healthcare cost issues with the creativity they deserve? What do you think? 66 Summing up this month's exchange of ideas regarding U.S. healthcare reform ranged far and wide. Some of us were interested primarily in the issue of cost escalation and how to contain it. Others addressed issues of quality. For still others, it was a matter of inequality of treatment. If this is a microcosm of current concerns and suggested solutions, does it bode well for the formation of a consensus, political or otherwise, leading to progress? But a number of respondents raised the question of whether the most feasible solution may lie primarily in the free market, with perhaps some help from government. Suggestions of causes of the current challenge of rapidly rising costs in relation to quality of outcomes, at least by the imperfect measure of life expectancy, included waste in the system, Julie Mayer, Edward Hare, and Jack Flanagan, as well as fraud, Kate McClelland, risk avoidance on the part of physicians, a litigious society, and inadequate protection from it for physicians, Roland Freeman, defensive medicine leading to unnecessary tests and treatments, an insurance system that is costly and inadequate for those who really need it, Amar Sahay and David Albert Newman. The high cost of new technology, artificial restrictions on the supply of drugs, Sergey Mirkian, and healthcare providers, David Stahl and Michael Robbins, the size and complexity of the problem itself, James Sullivan, government involvement, Paul Jackson, and uninformed or unnecessarily needy consumers, Hakan Hillestrom. In addition to these issues, Elizabeth Benbrooks reminds us that healthcare comes freighted with a host of fundamental moral, ethical, and emotional issues that simply don't exist for other industries. Perhaps this is why Hakeem Yesufu asserted, I am an ardent free market capitalist who realizes capitalism has no place in healthcare provision. But Terry Tennant asks what is perhaps the ultimate philosophical question, when did an individual's medical needs become an inalienable right that the government has to ensure? A number of responses suggested various free market mechanisms for addressing these issues. Where to start? Paul Jackson suggests that the only thing the government should be involved with is controlling the drug, insurance, and medical industry advertising spending, which would bring down costs. On the other hand, Wayne Baldwin argued that containing costs will come at the expense of something, technological advances, profit, access to certain services, and patient choice are likely candidates. One line of thinking would make both talent and drugs more competitive. Sergey Mirkian asks, why not open the country to foreign medications? In citing the need for more doctors and nurses, David Stahl comments that it could be a way to help open immigration in this country. Michael Robbins adds, healthcare has been a closed guild. David Udmer cited the maze of regulations that keep, for example, nurses from using all their skills in providing basic healthcare. and Håkan Hillerström imply that consumer education and choice may be an important response to many of these challenges. In spite of the issue's complexity, Richard Fawless offered the observation that reform is coming because Walmart and GM want it. He thinks it could come in the form of a 2% solution, in which everyone would pay 2% of their income to be held by the government for their healthcare, with competition maintained through private providers and the bills of those unable to contribute paid by the government. Keith Butler believes that it could come in the form of a two-tiered system of private treatment at personal expense layered on a service free to all with protections for healthcare givers and the elimination of third-party insurance. Are these the free market answers we've been waiting for? What do you think? Original article: healthcare will grab more and more headlines in the US in the coming months. Any service that is on track to consume 40% of the gross national product of the world's largest economy by the year 2050 will be hard to ignore. Business management already feels the effects of healthcare costs more acutely than most consumers. Several recent studies and proposals shed light on the problem and possible solutions. They leave us with questions, too. To put things in perspective, US healthcare currently costs about $2 trillion per year. Of this, more than $600 billion, 31%, is never seen by recipients. It goes for administration. On a per capita basis, it is roughly $280 billion more than is spent for administration in the other 21 countries whose life expectancies exceed those in the US, all of whom have some form of taxpayer-financed, single-payer system, the kind that used to be referred to by detractors as socialized medicine. Worse yet, the current system leaves more than 40 million Americans without health insurance. Because many are not employed or have very low incomes, programs that provide incentives through employers and tax relief don't help them. With this much room for possible improvement, the incentives should be sufficient to foster changes in behavior. A recent McKinsey study estimates that more than half of the $98 billion of excess administrative costs it identified goes for insurance company marketing and underwriting. Its estimate does not include the costs of sorting out acceptable applicants or denying payments under existing policies, another substantial amount. And it does not include the costs that doctors and hospitals incur in denying applications for payment, often in the form of payments to consultants who specialize in this kind of responsibility-shifting activity. By contrast, McKinsey estimates that it would cost only $77 billion per year, or about $1,900 per person, to provide healthcare to all of America's uninsured. If made available along with consumer education, others have suggested that all of this amount could be recouped eventually through the elimination of healthcare expenses incurred by those unable to pay now. Now comes Robert Frank, a Cornell economist, who has proposed ways of overcoming opposition to some kind of government and therefore taxpayer-funded solution to the problem. He has put his finger on the two main obstacles to major change in the current system: insurance company opposition and higher taxes. He suggests that insurance companies, who have acted in good faith to respond to incentives provided by the market, could be subsidized for their losses while their managements shift their health insurance strategies, perhaps to provide only supplemental private coverage. A portion of the $280 billion in annual savings suggested above could be used for this purpose. He proposes that the other obstacle, higher taxes, could be overcome through an effort to educate the public about the long-term economic benefits of such a move. How his proposal would fare in the face of previous failures is a real question. Given their magnitude, failure to solve these problems in the US could have global economic impact. But are we addressing them with the creativity they deserve? For example, to combat opposition to a tax increase, could tax credits for later use, when savings kick in, be issued to individuals and businesses in the amounts by which their taxes are increased? To provide universal insurance, could the government provide vouchers, along with consumer-oriented education, to all uninsured to be used at their discretion for their own care? In other words, could a consumer-driven solution be combined with a single-payer system? What can the US learn from other countries in the delivery of high-quality healthcare? What is the government's role in US healthcare? What do you think? To read more, Robert H. Frank, A Healthcare Plan So Simple, Even Stephen Colbert Couldn't Simplify It, The New York Times, February 18, 2007, p. c. 3. He is the author of a book, The Economic Naturalist, to be published this spring. McKinsey & Co., Accounting for the Cost of Healthcare in the United States, January 2007.